Your copy of God's Word just for a few minutes with me this morning and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. I want to look at just a couple verses here together as we reflect on Christ's death this morning. There is a common phrase that we use. It's often used in the world of sports. We say it's one and done. For example, that phrase is used to describe a single elimination tournament. A one and done tournament means that if your team loses one time, you're out. It's also used to describe basketball players who spend 1 year playing college basketball before going pro. What I'd like to do this morning, I would like to borrow that phrase, one and done, and reemploy it because I think it very much captures the nature of Christ's sacrifice on the cross to save us from our sins. We might say that in what the Bible calls the New Covenant, or what we call the New Testament, it's one and done. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 12. Follow along as I read these verses. These verses, by the way, they contrast all the priests, all the sacrifices of the Old Testament with Jesus Christ and his final ultimate sacrifice. Hebrews 10, verses 11 and 12 read, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." As I mentioned, these two verses contrast all the priests and all the sacrifices of the Old Testament, or what we might refer to as the Old Covenant, with the priest and the sacrifice of the New Covenant or the New Testament. In fact, we're about to partake of the Lord's Supper together. And in one of the Lord's Supper accounts, when Christ is in the upper room with his disciples, he explains to them that this is the New Covenant in my blood. The Old Covenant, the Old Testament, all of its priests, all of its sacrifices, they're gone. They're done away and they've been replaced by the New Covenant and the new priest. And one final sacrifice. So we have two words this morning that we want to consider. One and done. And the new covenant, it's one, we might say. At the heart of the New Testament, there is one priest. And there is one sacrifice. It's a covenant of one. In the new covenant, there is only one priest. And the writer of Hebrews wants to draw this out and cause us to see this. You might think of a priest, maybe not something that we're all that familiar with. But you might think of a priest as a go-between or a mediator between God and other people, between God and men. In the Old Testament, the priests offered sacrifices all day long on behalf of the people to God. And what verse 11 notes about the Old Testament priests is that there were many of them. If you look down at verse 11, it says, "And every priest." We're not just talking about one. I mean, there was a whole pile of these men. "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices." All of those priests in verse 11 are replaced in verse 12 by one single priest, Jesus Christ. Verse 12 begins, "But when Christ had offered," all of a sudden, all these men are offering all these sacrifices, and now they're not needed. Now somebody else makes an offering. "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins," 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says that there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Maybe we could say in that verse, there is only one priest between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. In the new covenant, there's only one priest. And in the new covenant, there's only one sacrifice. Speaking of the Old Testament priests, verse 11 says, "And every priest stands daily at his service." So every single day, these guys stand there at their jobs working. And it says, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices." When you read through your Old Testament, when you read through the Old Covenant, the blood of bulls and goats never stopped flowing. I mean, one animal after another on the altar, killed, bloodshed. The blood of animals was perpetually being shed to atone for the sins of the people. But according to verse 12, all of those Old Testament sacrifices, when we get to the New Covenant, when we get to the New Testament, all of those Old Testament sacrifices have been replaced by a single sacrifice. Verse 12 begins, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. So Christ is the new priest. He's replaced all the old ones and he offers a single sacrifice. We go, wow, that must have been one pretty amazing animal. That must have been one pretty amazing bull or goat without blemish or spot, or one perfect lamb. As a priest, what sacrifice did Jesus offer up? Well, if you look back up into the previous verse, verse 10, it tells us, it speaks of the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The writer of Hebrews points out that Jesus offered up his own body and shed his own blood on the cross to atone for your sins. Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist said. So in the new covenant, there's only one sacrifice, the God-man, Jesus Christ. We could say that the new covenant is a covenant of one. There is one priest. There is one sacrifice that's replaced the many. But it's not just one. It's one and done. In the new covenant, it is done. Under the old covenant, it was never really done, was it? The work of the priest was basically this never-ending cycle. They got up every single day and they did the same thing that they did the day before. The blood of bulls and goats never stopped flowing. Day after day, week after week, year after year, decade after decade, century after century. In ancient Israel, the blood never stopped flowing. But with the writer of Hebrews, he reminds us, not so with Jesus. Because from the cross, Christ cried out, "It is finished. It's done." The sacrificial work of Jesus is powerful. The author of Hebrews wants us to ask this question. How effective were all of those Old Testament sacrifices? And verse 11 says that they can never take away sins. They were actually just picturing something. Those sacrifices didn't have that kind of power. They didn't have the power to truly, ultimately, finally atone for sin. But Jesus' sacrifice did. Verse 12 says that Christ offered for all time. Or maybe we could say once and for all. He offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. Perhaps in high school, you had to read Macbeth by William Shakespeare. In that story, you may recall that Lady Macbeth and her husband murder King Duncan. And at first, she feels no guilt. But later in the story, she's found sleepwalking around the room. And as she's sleepwalking, she just keeps perpetually rubbing her hands and washing them for an extremely long time. And she just keeps doing it and trying to get a spot of blood out of her hands. Well, there's nothing. She had already washed her hands. Her hands were physically clean, but she just kept rubbing them, symbolizing her guilt. And no matter how much she rubbed her hands and tried to get them clean, no matter how many times she washes them, she can't escape her guilt. And much like that, the Old Testament sacrifices could never wash away guilt. I mean, these priests, animal after animal after animal, it's just like trying to rub it off and atone for sin, but it doesn't actually do it. But the sacrifice of Jesus can. The sacrificial work of Jesus is so powerful. And the sacrificial work of Jesus is complete. And we see that as we compare the posture of the Old Testament priest in verse 11 with the posture of Jesus in verse 12. Look at those verses and look for the posture that you see. What are the Old Testament priests doing? They're standing. They're on their feet. They're walking around. What's the posture of Jesus in the next verse? He's sitting. The Old Testament priests were on their feet, running around, offering sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. It's like they ran on this hamster wheel of never-ending sacrifices. And the next day, they would just get up and do it all over again. Over 2,000 years ago, on the darkest day of history, Jesus Christ hung suspended between heaven and earth. And he died as the final perfect sacrifice for your sins. And this text tells us, after he did that, he sat down. Verse 12 says this, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus sat down in the Father's presence, indicating that his work was finished and the Father had accepted his sacrifice. The new covenant is a covenant of done. It is done. It is one and it's done. It's all about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, and he's finished his work on the cross. The new covenant is a covenant of done. In the new covenant, we might say it's one and done. And what does a person do with that? Jesus says, repent and believe. Repent. Confess your sins. Acknowledge them for what they are to God. A person has to look and recognize that that cross was needed because of them. It was needed because of you. A person has to be able to say that it was my sins that nailed Jesus to that cross. And there's no other way. To repent, to confess those sins to God, say, I realize I'm a sinner. I don't want my sin anymore. But also to believe, to trust. To be able to say that the sacrifice of Jesus is enough to save me from my sins. I believe that. To truly believe that it is one. It's Jesus Christ and his one sacrifice, and that's it, period. And it's done. Jesus Christ sat down, and yet people think that they need to stand up and work their way to heaven. Jesus did everything, and then he sat down. It's already done. And Jesus has invited people to repent and believe, to confess their sin, say, God, I'm a sinner, and I'm going to trust in Christ's work on the cross, that it's enough. Christ and Christ alone is enough to save me from my sins. God, will you save me? And when we have done that, this perfect priest, this perfect mediator, has made us right between God and our Maker, so that we are reconciled to him and at peace with God, and we have eternal life. So why don't we pause for a few moments this morning? I just want to give you some time to bow your head before the Lord and reflect.